CD 7.
Perhaps there just aren't any facilities for dealing with humans who get into the machinery, said Kin. Marco grunted, but didn't look up from his work. He was doing something Neolithic with the length of robot innards, using the small repair hemisphere as a hammer.
There must be, he said. This world must be studied with hidden air ducts, ventilators, power shafts. Humans poke into everywhere. Anyway, we were brought here, remember? Subsequently, to ignore us is impolite.
He stood up.
Coming.
Where?
Anywhere with delicate circuitry. This,
he waved a robot limb,
is insulated for short-circuiting.
And the other thing? Asked Kin, her heart sinking. It was a connected series of arm sections, terminating in a crude but lethal blade. Marco hefted it experimentally.
Huh? It's a weapon, obviously.
You were maybe expecting to meet some anti-personnel robots? Kin said icily. Marco had the decency not to meet her gaze.
I was thinking of Silver, he said wretchedly. Well, do you imagine she's found anything to eat yet? And have you got any better ideas?
He set off along a tributary tunnel and called back.
Anyway, it can't have escaped your notice that these tunnels are lit. Robots don't need light.
Kin shrugged. Perhaps soldering robots needed light? A little light destruction to attract attention was one thing, however. Intelligent action in the circumstances. But Marco looked ready to smash the whole disc. In the distance, she saw him hacking at cables. This wasn't action to attract attention. This was Marco versus the universe. What was happening up on the surface? A plague of flies? A rain of frogs? All the seas running dry? The extinction of the dodo? Now she was running. Marco was a terrible figure wreathed in smoke, hacking at a solid cliff of planet-sized circuit. There was a jerkiness about his movements that told Kin all she needed to know. Marco had gone mad, or at least had gone kung. She stopped when his blade swept a few inches from her throat.
They want to play games, eh?
He croaked.
Put us on the spot. Watch our reactions, eh? I'll show them.
One free hand swept his glove into a circuit board, which exploded.
I'll show them.
Kin swayed back, her eyes on the tip of the blade. Then a movement to the right of Marco's private smoke cloud made her look away. Marco saw her expression and hesitated for a fraction of a second too long. Silver leapt. Marco disappeared as the huge, paddle-like arms swept round in a bone-grinding hug, then appeared again with three arms flailing at the Shan's head. Silver screamed, and one foot came up with claws out to disembowel the enemy. Marco's bowels had already gone with the rest of him for Silver's eyes. While the Shan staggered across the floor, clawing at the demon atop her, Kin saw Marco's fourth arm swing up with his pike. It twirled gracefully, the blades drifting through the hot air like the scythe of death. Then it buried itself in a power cable. There was a sound like the snapping of locusts. Silver and Marco appeared for a moment like a tableau, Silver a big fluffy ball as every hair stood out from her body. Kin scrabbled on the floor for Marco's anti-disc weapon with its insulated handle. It took all her strength to knock the vibrating pike out of his hand. When it came away, the two aliens collapsed. Aliens, she thought. I called them aliens. Oh, shit. She knelt down and sought for signs of life. Something vague was happening in Silver's chest, but she didn't know where to even begin looking for either of Marco's hearts. The lights overhead dwindled to a sickly orange glow. There were footsteps behind Kin, strange, rattling steps. She turned, still crouching, to see the tall figure that had appeared behind her. The most obvious thing was the weapon that was sweeping down towards her. Instinctively, she flung up an arm, which was still holding Marco's club. The scythe hit it hard and shivered into pieces. Kin started to laugh. The thing in front of her was a skeleton in a black bathrobe, grinning perplexedly at the wooden handle that now had no blade. Who were they trying to scare? The scythe handle in Death's white claws flowed. What it became was at least appropriate to the age of genocide, and Kin had time to wonder where they had found the pattern. There were two rows of oscillating teeth and a brisk little engine. A power scythe. Kin had used them herself to clear scrub on new worlds. Death advanced. Had he lunged, Kin wouldn't have survived, but ancient habits die hard. He swung.